In order to highlight the salient incidents of Captain Olsen's attack and the AI's ambush, 70-odd lines of system entries were excluded. See Appendix A. For a more revealing account of events, we turn to Vasily Surov's journal, the unexpurgated version which was released into the public purview a few years ago. It includes several observations on the planning of the colony ship program, some highly critical of senior government figures at the time of the Swarm War. For the purposes of this study, we shall focus on entries made by Surov directly before and after the assault. Sigurd Halfvorsen.
2nd of November, 21:27, 8:27 p.m. This morning, we buried the remains of our friend and colleague Andrei Sergeyevich Svichkov. He was one of the nearly 24 crew and colonists which that damned machine trapped and operated on, turning them into agony-racked slaves. Despite the inhumane violations inflicted upon him by the command AI, despite the pain he must have felt, he sacrificed himself to give us the information we need to finally put to rest that damned machine. It has been barely 2 days since he carried out that abortive attack with the charges. When we recovered his body, we saw how he had been executed by one of those armed flyers, and found the crude map that he had inked into his own chest, showing the Hyperion's Achilles heel. We buried him on a gentle grassy slope overlooking the sea. The sky was grey, and a cold breeze blew, but the rain stayed away. It is raining now. I can hear the hiss from beyond the cave mouth. Captain Olsen spoke from his Bible. Loner, one of the Scottish women, sang something beautiful, and a few of Andrei's close friends wept for him. I wept for him. Afterwards, back here in the cave, Olsen singled out me and Kerry McAllister for a private talk. He had decided to move against the machine tomorrow, using the information gleaned from Vichkov's map. It seems that Olsen and McAllister will carry out a diversionary attack through the forward bays while my group infiltrates via an emergency venting hatch sited near the stern, and trust that Andrei was right. 3rd of November, 21:27, 11:35 a.m. It is almost time. All eight of us, two teams of three plus me and Andy Ferguson, are attired for war, wearing scavenged scraps of body armor and carrying a variety of weapons. Olsen and McAllister's people have the three handguns, the beam rifle, and one of the Gauss pistols, while we have the other Gauss pistol, the one with the 80% charge. Of course, we all have the usual selection of medieval deterrents, clubs, knives, hatchets, and spikes, as well as water bombs to use against unprotected power assemblies, like the ones controlling our former shipmates. Olsen has just given the order. Time to move out. Ferguson and I are waiting by the entrance, packs already shouldered, chatting and laughing as if we are about to go on our canicule or a picnic or a vacation. Perhaps this is not such a bad frame of mind to adopt. Certainly it is better than going over old ground, speculating why the ship's AI turned on us. It is now 11:48 a.m. as I put away this journal. I hope to be back writing in it this evening. 4th of November, 21:27. Blank. 5th of November, 21:27, 9:18 a.m.